Good morning. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Nash Jones. Summer break looks very different this year for kids and teens across New Mexico as we work to limit the spread of COVID-19. Today, we're talking with parents, providers, and people coordinating programming across the state about the challenges and the opportunities that exist as families and communities work to help kids across New Mexico stay well and stay engaged this summer. We also want to hear from any kids or teens who found new ways to make their lives work and stay connected. What's that look like? How has your summer been going so far? We want, what do you wish was out there that isn't? Get in touch this morning. Our number is 277-5866. Or are you a parent who's figured out how to keep your kids cared for and safe this summer? Or are you concerned that your child is feeling isolated or down? We'd like to hear from you too. And hopefully today's conversations will spark some ideas for you. Give us a call this hour. It's 505-277-5866. If you're on Twitter, you can also tweet the show using hashtag #LetsTalkNM. And I feel like we should have a TikTok or a Snapchat or something if we really wanted to hear from younger people, but we're not there yet. Sorry, y'all. So send us your thoughts on email at letstalk@kunm.org. I'd first like to welcome on the phone this morning from Albuquerque, Rashab Mahmood, who is a parent of two. His daughter Liliana is 7 and his son Kalen is 3. And in the interest of transparency, Rashad did used to work here at KUNM as a program coordinator. Good morning, Rashad. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Good morning, Nash. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So both of your kids are now involved in some in-person programming, but you started the summer break with them home full-time. What did that look like exactly?
It was really challenging at first. Normally, both kids would be in full-time childcare of some form. Kalen, the younger one, is in a daycare, Wesley Kids, downtown, and Liliana was usually in some sort of summer camp or in school when COVID first hit. But we're really fortunate. Both me and my wife are working from home right now, and even before COVID hit. But so the adjustment wasn't that bad. But you know, we did have to reduce the hours that we worked so that we could watch the kids. It was a challenge.
Yeah, were there any things that in your normal day-to-day with your kids or rules or anything that you had to adjust, or was there anything that you did to fill the time while they were at home?
So when we first started, Liliana's school, our daughter who was finishing up first grade when COVID first hit, did send home some regular lessons and materials so that we could do sort of school at home. Mm-hmm. But it's challenging not being really prepared and ready for that.
Yeah, no doubt.
We did end up, increasing the amount of screen time that we allowed the kids so that we could, try to get some work done and some peace of mind. We set up some schedules for cleaning the house. My wife is really organized, and so we sat down and, worked out a really coordinated schedule that would work for us. But it's hard having kids at home all the time when you're not used to it and they're not used to it and they can't see their friends. And
did your kids
it was definitely a challenging transition.
I'm sure it was. Did your kids understand why things were all of a sudden so different? Have you had those conversations with them?
Yeah. Liliana's older, and I think she understood. I think she just walked in, so she could maybe answer herself.
Oh, then let me. That'd be great.
So, Liliana, did you understand when coronavirus first hit? Like, what was happening?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you talk a little more? How did it feel?
Different.
Was that fine? It's feeling fine? Well, Rashad, what do you feel like you were hearing from Liliana?
I thought I'd give her a try.
No problem. I appreciate that.
Right now.
We all get a little shy sometimes. I get a little shy on the radio too. That makes sense. So, Rashad, what were you hearing from your kids about how they were feeling? How were they coping with the changes?
I was honestly really impressed with how well they coped. If you had told me back in February that we'd be home full time with the kids with no play dates or no outside contact really with anyone else direct in person, that everything would go fairly well. I would have said you're not reality-based, but, you know, kids are really resilient and flexible, and I'm really grateful. You know, we have two kids, so they can play with each other a lot. You know, it's we were basically in as fortunate a position as we could be, right?
Sure.
We were both prepared to work from home. We have two kids to play with each other. We have a yard. You know, I just felt for so many families that aren't in that position, right? That, like, maybe the single parents, people in apartments having to entertain their kids there.
No doubt.
I mean, just so many challenges for parenting in this time.
And lately, they've been back in some in-person activities, if I understand. Kaylin's back in daycare, and both are doing some gymnastics classes. What did you and your wife have to weigh to make that decision to re-enroll them, especially since it sounds like it, you know, you were in a fortunate position. It was working out fairly well to have them at home. So what made you re-enroll them in some activities?
Well, I mean, I think for us, you know, we looked at the governor's guidelines to make sure that the things that were reopening were following them, and they were. And I don't know, like, we just felt like the kids really needed some in-person socializing and connection, and we thought if they could do it safe enough, that the odds are low enough that we felt comfortable giving it a shot, mm-hmm. That we would try it, just because, you know, for young people, like, seeing other young people in person is just so important, right? So the gymnastics classes, you know, are smaller than normal. They're following the limits on the number of people in the building. All the grown-ups are wearing masks. The younger kids aren't. But, you know, they're enforcing social distance and they're cleaning everything really well.
I guess
it could happen, but I'm hopeful that those measures will be adequate.
Right, of course.
And then daycare, you know, similarly, kids over three are having to wear masks. They're enforcing social distancing when possible. At first, there was reduced kids per classroom, but now at least the facility we're in, they can theoretically go up to full capacity, but they were already at a higher ratio than a lot of other places.
Is the fact that cases are on the rise again recently changing your feelings about it at all, or bringing up new questions for you, for that matter?
We question it a little bit, but you know, it's tough. I mean, even though cases are on the rise, the total numbers are still low enough that it seems like hopefully things will still be okay. So, I mean, daycare is really my biggest, you know, concern, because that's where the biggest exposure comes, right? Like, all the mm-hmm. teachers, all the other kids, all the other kids' families. But from what I've read of the research, like, kid transmission is actually pretty hard, right? Because the disease doesn't hit them that hard. And, like, the way they express COVID-19 doesn't lend itself to spreading it as much as it does in grown-ups. So I'm hoping that that's true. We don't actually really know, but...
Right, the research is still developing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rashad, I want to thank you for your time and sharing your experiences with us this morning, and Liliana, too. You know, best of luck as you continue into the summer in this time of COVID.
Thank you so much. Yeah, just best wishes to all the parents out there. I know how hard it is.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Well, have you been getting outdoors with your kids this summer? Where have you gone? Do you have any questions about how to keep things safe during COVID? Get in touch. You can email us at letstalk@kunm.org or by calling in right now at 505-277-5866. I want to bring on Joanne Vasquez. Joanne is a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in working with kids and teens and families to talk a bit about the impact that the shutdown can have on our mental and our emotional well-being, especially when we're young and still developing that sense of self. So good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Nash.
So,
how are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Thanks so much for being here. So many kids this summer, they're not able to see their friends, or at least not in person. There's also a lot of uncertainty in all that's going on right now. What are you hearing from the youth that you work with about the impact that the shutdown is having?
Oh, I'm hearing a lot of loneliness and isolation. I would say the number one issue is not being able to spend time with friends, and what that's doing to the teenagers, causing them to isolate in their room more. Just trying to figure out how am I going to have a social life during COVID, which is really, really challenging. There is some anxiety, too, about returning to school. Kids who have anxiety, actually, in the beginning of COVID, a lot of them were like, this is great. I don't have to go to school. My anxiety is gone. Mm-hmm. But that's this month, that's what's going to start happening, like talking about returning to school, talking about if they're, you know, catching the virus. So there's a wide range between depression and anxiety that's going on for the teenagers.
We know a lot of young people are connecting with their friends online and through social media. Is that different than connecting in person?
Absolutely. The kids who actually do find ways to socialize, where there's more FaceTime, or kids that I do have some kids that are getting together in their home outdoors, staying 6 feet apart, watching a movie together. Those kids seem to be thriving more. Mm. The kids who are only texting, I'm hearing things from them like, well, no one really wants to hear from me anymore. Like the texting seems to just be dying out in a way. Mm-hmm. So they really need that physical connection. They really need to see their faces. They really need to be like on video chat, something more than just texting at this point.
And for our listeners who are caring for kids and for teens, what are some signs that they might look out for that the young person in their life might be struggling?
I would say if they are not, you know, being active with the family and they are isolating nonstop like that, that is a concern. Okay. We don't want them to be, it's normal for kids, teenagers, right, to want to be in their room and shut the door. And we also need to encourage them to come out. So if you notice that they're saying things that are sounding hopeless, if they're not connecting with friends, maybe they're not eating, those types of behaviors could be signs that there's something more going on. Mm-hmm. And you might want to seek out some professional help. There are phone numbers that we're going to provide for you that you could call if you feel like there is something more going on, like suicidal ideation, self-harm urges. Those would be really important to address as soon as possible.
Right. And those resources that Joanne's mentioning, we're going to have resources up on the webpage for this show. You can head to KUNM.org. There's quite a few that are up there right now, and we'll add more that get brought up throughout the hour. So it's right at the top of our homepage at KUNM.org. So what are some ways, Joanne, that parents, you mentioned a few, but other ways that parents and others that have kids in their life can support the mental and emotional health of younger people during the shutdown?
I really recommend getting them out of the house.
Okay.
We happen to have, you know, good days here. Yes, it might be hot right now, but all in all, every day here is a beautiful day. Get the kids out of the house. Get the teenagers out of the house. Maybe go on a hike. Take them to a lake. Go kayaking, fishing. Get on your bikes. Ride the bikes, you know, down the bike path. Any way that you can get the family out and get them active. The activity also helps them with their depression, and it also helps with connection. I mean, it's a way that we could still walk 6 feet apart from our friends and still be able to go for a walk.
That's super helpful.
Taking the dogs out.
Yeah, and we're going to have more on ways to be COVID safe as you get out into the outdoors this summer later in the hour. We're going to take just a quick break this morning. We're talking about youth experiences of summer break during the pandemic. We're going to come back with Joanne Vasquez here in a moment. Our phone lines are open. If you have a question for Joanne, call 277-5866 or tweet with hashtag Let's Talk NM. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Nash Jones. We'll be right back.
The Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm is committed to supporting KUNM, where the law firm's criminal practice can help clients petition state courts to permanently remove public records related to criminal charges and certain convictions. RothsteinLaw.com.
Support provided by Weekly Alibi, covering news, arts, and entertainment for Albuquerque since 1992. The friends at Weekly Alibi invite the community to help support local independent journalism when it's needed the most. Info at alibi.com/friends.
The harp has a reputation for sounding light and beautiful and heavenly. Well, in the right hands, a harp can express any emotion. Coming up, the powerful, propulsive side of the harp, the Harp Concerto by Alberto Ginastera, on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Nash Jones, and our focus today is on youth experiences of summer break during the shutdown. Is your child having a hard time during the pandemic this summer? Have you found creative ways to support them despite the limitations that the pandemic brings about? Give us a call and tell us about it. 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. We're also on Twitter with the hashtag Let's Talk NM. We're talking with Joanne Vasquez, a licensed clinical social worker who works with youth and families, about some of the challenges this summer is bringing up for young people. Before the break, we were talking about some ways that parents and others can support the mental and emotional health of young people. Joanne was talking about getting outside. And Joanne, I wonder, are there any concerns or tactics you've heard from parents who are trying to be helpful that you've maybe redirected or that might not be as helpful as the parent intends them to be?
So the idea of being on a schedule, that works really well for the young kids. But when we're talking about adolescents who want to have more of a say in their life and what they do, telling them they need to go to bed at 10 o'clock and taking their phones away at night, that doesn't seem really useful right now, because many of the kids, they want to be on their phones chatting with their friends at night or playing a video game at night. And they're, you know, what I hear from them is, I don't have to be up at any special time. Right. Why can't I just stay up? So I do encourage that parents allow more flexibility in that, that as long as they're getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep, if they get up at noon, oh, well, you know,
right.
It's just for the summer, I kind of feel like kids need a little bit more freedom with that, deciding what time to go to bed. And I'm talking about teenagers, not young children.
Sure, sure. Yeah, these aren't normal times, so maybe being flexible with, you know, not doing things the normal way might be helpful. That's great to hear. So are there any community resources for young folks who are feeling anxious or depressed or maybe who are even having suicidal thoughts that you want to make sure our listeners know about in case they're seeing those signs in their kids?
Well, I'm not really that familiar with the community resources, but I would say this is an ideal time to get your child into therapy, because it is online, it is virtual. Mm-hmm. So pretty much if they are home, the option of having, you know, at least an hour a week to speak to a therapist, I'm finding that to be very helpful for them. Because many times teenagers during the summer, they're like, I don't need to talk to anybody, I'm having a great life. Not this year. This year, they want to be connected to somebody. And if they need to get a therapist, I would recommend that. And I would say it's very easy right now because of the fact that it is online. So scheduling is so much easier. There's so much flexibility right now.
Right, so folks are meeting on Zoom and those kinds of things.
Yes, yes.
That's helpful.
Yes.
Well, I do want to put it out there that, you know, if somebody listening or someone that you know is considering suicide, you can call the New Mexico Crisis and Access Line. The number is 1-855-NM-CRISIS. You can also call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. If you prefer to text, like I know many young people do, the number to text is 741-741. And we do have a plethora of other mental and behavioral health resources on our webpage at KUNM.org. Look for the Let's Talk New Mexico show page on that. So Joanne Vasquez is a social worker in Albuquerque who works with youth and families. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us this morning, Joanne.
You're welcome.
Joanne is actually going to stay on the line with us. So if you have a question about mental health, teens, kids, families, it is not too late to call in. The number to do so is going to be 505-277-5866. Next on the line, I want to welcome to the show Ziara Kirksey. Ziara is a center supervisor at both the Dennis Chavez Community Center and the Mesa Verde Community Center in Albuquerque. Hi, Ziara.
Hi.
So all Albuquerque community centers, including the two that you supervise, if I understand correctly, are offering in-person programming this summer. How is that going?
It's going actually very well. We've actually had a nice turnout. And I mean, considering that we're already halfway through the summer, it's been exceptionally well considering, you know, this pandemic and what we're going through. So
I'm so glad to hear that. So who's coming to the community center this summer? Who are you serving?
Right now, I mean, we're servicing essential workers. We're servicing just our communities in general, really anyone. And in the beginning, we really focused in on our essential workers, of course. And sure. Then as the summer became available, we ran through a lottery. And so now we're servicing any and every participant that comes through our facilities, considering they make it, of course, on our list.
I see. And so this, I imagine the list is because you've had to reduce your population size. The State Department of Health issued some guidance for summer youth programs to keep in-person programming safe during the pandemic. What are those adjustments? It sounds like maybe a smaller participant size, but what do those adjustments otherwise look like for you all at the Albuquerque community centers?
Well, yeah, definitely. Smaller participant sizes, of course. And then us not being fully open to the public as well. Only our staff and participants are allowed inside of our buildings right now. We do have our smaller group sizes, which, of course, calls for more activity rotations, using our creative ways to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do, of course, to make sure that they're enjoying their summer.
Sure. So what kind of activities are you still able to host, and what are the creative solutions you've come up with to make those work this summer?
So this year, our spaces, we actually are utilizing every single space that we do have in our facilities, doing art and board games and utilizing our computer labs, of course, our gym outside, game rooms, our dance spaces that we do have. We've created different science labs in certain facilities as well. As well as reading, we've been doing a lot of STEM activities. We got a lot of resources from our community and Sandia Labs and things like that. So we've been really implementing that as well. And then having our spirit days, and we have challenges, and of course we have our game rooms, and we're having tournaments, foosball, Connect Four, just any type of interactive activity that you can think of.
Sure, and with like something like dodgeball or something, how do you make that COVID safe? What does that look like?
So of course, our dodgeball with us, starting off with our group sizes going out of 1-5 ratio, it's kind of hard to play dodgeball in a sense of that. It's not the normal dodgeball that you would have. So in a sense of that, I mean, really, it's just our staff being able to participate with the kids to making it that 6. So then you have 3 on one side, 3 on the other side. It's worked. We've worked in a sense of making it more challenging, because it's not like you can, it's only 3 and 3. So you kind of have to make do with the sizes that we have. So
right.
It's been interesting, but it's been fun. And definitely it's kind of like who's the king or the queen of the court. So
cool.
It works.
Well, so we have a comment from David in Santa Fe this morning who says, we're still under a stay-at-home order. Telling people to go out and enjoy the lake is not in line with the governor's order. Now the governor's always said during the pandemic, going for a walk or getting some sun, that that's a good idea. But it's hard to make decisions about what's okay beyond that. Ziara, what do you think? What's the right way to go on that?
As far as getting out,
I
feel like it's definitely necessary. The kids, especially being at such young ages, and this being such a huge and scary time as at the same time, something just completely different. I think it's definitely necessary to get out, especially with with if you have younger ones and the teenagers, I'm noticing now, you know, with our programming that we have going on, we've had a lot more teenagers come to the facility and utilize it, considering on a normal summer. And so I've noticed that they've been actually interested in coming out. So it's showing that they're tired of being in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely necessary for them to get out and just kind of get some fresh air and socialize and, you know, just get out and about, even just walking. We take our kids as well on walks, and we kind of have them out and definitely enjoying this heat and the sun. It's been a warm summer so far, so it's awesome.
And that's super helpful. Thank you. And for David, we are going to have Axie Novice with the Outdoor Rec Division on later this hour to talk more about some COVID-safe tactics for getting outdoors and camping and hiking and those kinds of things. And so we'll be sure to lift those up as well. But Ziara, back to the community centers, you all are serving predominantly families with low incomes where the adults are often out of the house providing some essential services. What do you see as the impact of having in-person programming available for these kids who spend their days with you right now?
Yeah, so the impact that I'm kind of seeing as far as being within this time frame and as well as running, because we've been running this whole entire time, so even as the schools went out and as the schools are getting ready to go back, of course, we're still going to have programming as well. But I've noticed the impact of just being able to have the one-on-one attention, and actually just it's been super helpful because certain things that we didn't know about our participants, and now they're like actually coming out and they're talking and they're taking the time to really just express themselves and show. And I'm seeing arts activities, I'm seeing science, you know, experiments that we're doing, and they're like amazed by it and they're actually looking into it and doing research. And so I'm seeing the impact. Like I feel like it's really brought out a lot of our participants in the sense of their personality wise and them really trying to find themselves and figure out what exactly it is that they, you know, enjoy doing, as well as just finding, you know, where they want to go or what they want to do and actually taking the time and not so much technology. So It's really more hands-on. I feel like that's one of the biggest impacts that I've noticed, you know, being in the community centers within these areas.
Are you a teenager who would normally spend your summer at camp or a program that's been canceled because of the coronavirus? What are you doing instead? Are your kids attending an in-person program this summer during the pandemic? How's the program adjusted to meet the state's order and keep things safe? What went into your decision to enroll your child in an in-person program? Please call us now at 277-5866 or email letstalk@kunm.org. If you've got questions for Ziara with the Albuquerque Community Centers, we want to hear from you now. So Ziara, what does it look like to create a supportive and accessible space for younger people in your community center's neighborhood?
Just honestly, the way that we've been utilizing and taking in this pandemic and really just using it to our advantages, we started utilizing just spaces, you know, and so instead of before, it was more we focused in on our participants and how many we were going to take in and, you know, utilize the rotations. Now it's like every single space that we have is kind of created in a unique unique type of sense,
mm-hmm.
of creating just a safe space for them to be comfortable. Normally in the computer lab, you'd see them on the computers, but we also have like tables in there now. And so I've noticed them not necessarily utilizing the computer labs, but also, I mean, the computers, but also like playing cards or asking to bring in a board game, sitting on the floor, and just being themselves and not having so much restrictions on them, in a sense of, or being scared to do certain things. You know, they're actually sitting down and it's the one-on-one. So creating just that space for them, we've, of course, are practicing our COVID practices and making sure we're following procedures, but in a sense, making them understand it's still your summer. We still want you to have fun. We still want you to enjoy yourselves. We're not trying to, you know, completely just take away, you know, any type of normalized society that you've been used to, but except in a sense more so adapt to it. And so we've kind of just at this point we have our ratios are so much lower, and so we have these rooms, and these rooms are so much bigger, which takes for them to have their own space and, you know, separate and move around and keep the social distancing at the same time having their masks on but still not feeling different. but feeling safe and understanding that we're here for them, giving them all of our attention. Yeah. That's been our main focus. So.
That's so important. Well, just quickly, for any listeners who are hearing about your program right now and have a kid at home who might enjoy getting involved, are folks still able to sign up and attend this summer?
Yes. So we have our community centers that are still under capacity. So we have Borellas Community Center, Heights Community Center, Jack Candelaria Community Center, Snow Park Community Center, Thomas Bell, and Whittier. We're all still Great. Accepting participants.
Okay.
And I hope that for the parents, we are practicing our procedures to the T and making sure that we're keeping all of our participants safe at the same time, making sure that they have fun. If they are at home and they're bored, please utilize our facilities so that way they can get out. We're not, the unknown is coming, you know, and so it's very crucial to make sure that they at least like enjoy their summer while they can before we head back into everything else going into the school year.
Great. Well, thank you, Ziara, for taking the time out of your morning to speak with us.
Of course. Thank you for having.
Ziara Kirksey is a supervisor with the Mesa Verde and Dennis Chavez Community Centers in Albuquerque. We're going to post the information that she just mentioned about in-person summer programs at the Albuquerque Community Centers on the show page at KUNM.org. We're also going to keep Ziara on the line. If you got questions about community center programs, go ahead and give us a call now. The number to call is 277-5866. And we do have a call online, Colleen from Albuquerque. Good morning, Colleen. What would you like to contribute to the conversation this morning?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm with the City of Albuquerque Open Space Division, and
okay.
I just wanted to let your listeners know that we are offering an explorer camp this summer, and our staff and partners have been really creative in how we can do this outdoor camp at the Open Space Visitor Center in light of all the COVID mandates.
Sure, and so is this in person, the camp?
I'm sorry?
Is it in person, or is it an online opportunity?
So in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so each week we have a different theme. This week our theme is on owls, and it's an outdoor camp. It runs Wednesday through Friday. We are taking 10 kids per week, and we break them up into small groups of five. Kids do wear masks, and they do have hula hoops to stand in and sit in so they know the distancing they should be at. When we go on hikes, we have ropes with knots in them for every 6 feet. So I think, we've had a lot of success with the program so far, and I think we're doing some great training for some of these young kids. 6 to 10 are the age ranges.
Okay, great. And how do people sign up if they want to get involved?
They just go to cabq.gov/openspace, and they go to our events page, and they could sign up right then.
Perfect. The Albuquerque Open Space is doing some exploring camps. Thanks so much. And it's a great segue into who I want to talk to next, which is about talking about getting young people outside this summer. I know we talked about it with Joanne as well, that this is a protective factor for young people's mental health. But we also want to talk about what are the ways to do that safely. So I'd like to introduce Axie Navas. Axie is the director of the New Mexico Outdoor Recreation Division. Good morning, Axie. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Nash. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So research is increasingly showing that the coronavirus floats in the air, particularly indoors where there's less ventilation. A lot of folks may be trying to get outside this summer to lessen their exposure to COVID-19, but some kids and families may find that more challenging than others. So can you talk to us about what are the barriers that exist to getting outside and who exactly runs into those barriers?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I've worked in the outdoor industry for about 10 years now and have been in this job for almost a year now. And I think we have lots of conversations about that, about those barriers to access. And it can range. It can range on everything from not having access to the transportation needed to get to a trailhead, perhaps mm-hmm. because you don't live in a community that abuts a green space. To not being able or not thinking you're able to afford the type of gear that is marketed to the outdoor industry. Often it is prohibitively mm-hmm. expensive. And, you know, those are just two of the barriers that we see that we want to make sure we address intentionally through my office. And one of the ways we do that is through a brand new program that that is called the Outdoor Equity Fund, that is intended to address just that, the barriers to accessing the outdoors and how to lower them. So it's a grant program intended to invest in transformative outdoor recreation experiences for New Mexican youth, primarily from low-income communities, and it is intended to get them outside. So brand new program that we're really proud of that, awesome. That is intended to address those barriers head on.
Great. So that's called the Equity Fund, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the Outdoor Equity Fund, kind of the first of its kind in the nation. I'm so proud to be a part of it, and I think all of us as New Mexicans should be really proud that New Mexico is leading the way in this conversation when it comes to equitable access to the outdoors.
So in terms of the details of the grant fund, who can apply for the funding, and are the applications still open?
Applications are still open. There's about 3.5 weeks until they close. Deadline is August 1st. And eligible applicants are nonprofits, tribal governments, regional, local governments, anyone who's getting kids outside within those buckets. So folks can look at my website for more information. It's nmoutside.com, or shoot me an email or give me a call, and I'm happy to talk through those. But yeah, I think that deadline is key. It's August 1st to check it out and apply.
Okay. Great. That's super helpful. Real quick, I'm going to bring Joanne Vasquez back into the conversation here, a licensed clinical social worker who works with families. Joanne, we got a comment from Mike from Sandia Park, who says, letting teenagers do what they want without a schedule does not work for families and parents with jobs. And that he'd like to add that teenagers often work as well. So Joanne, what do you think about how much control parents should try for when it comes to teen schedules?
Well, if the teen is needed for, you know, helping out in the family, of course, babysitting, or if they are having a job, of course, that would require some type of a schedule for those types of things. I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing chores or participating in the family. Absolutely, they should be. That's also going to be helpful for them to stay connected within the family, to have responsibilities. I was speaking more about, you know, some teenagers feel that sometimes the restrictions that are put on them don't have a logical reason for it.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that clarification on that tip. I appreciate it. I'm sorry to cut you off. We do have to go to a very quick break. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Nash Jones. We'll be back in a minute.
Support provided by Weekly Alibi, covering news, arts, and entertainment for Albuquerque since 1992. The friends at Weekly Alibi invite the community to help support local independent journalism when it's needed the most. Info at alibi.com/friends.
The Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm is committed to supporting KUNM, where the law firm's criminal practice can help clients petition state courts to permanently remove public records related to criminal charges and certain convictions. RothsteinLaw.com.
Fisheries are more than just a business for the tribes that operate them. Tribes throughout the country maintain fish hatcheries as a means to restore or preserve fish species and to exercise treaty rights for a culturally significant food source. We'll look into tribal fisheries on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Nash Jones. Are you a young person? Are you finding new ways to have fun and stay connected with your friends this summer? Are you getting outside with your family? Let us know. Call 277-KUNM. If you're on a landline outside the metro area, the toll-free number is 1-877-899-5866. Axie Novice is with us this morning. She's the director of the state's Outdoor Recreation Division. Axie, a lot of really beautiful outdoor spaces in New Mexico are on tribal lands, or people drive through reservations on their way to a site. We also know that many of the tribal communities in New Mexico are being hit particularly hard by the COVID-19 virus. How can people check their plans to make sure they're avoiding tribal lands and don't make things harder for these communities?
Oh, I think that's such a good question. And it also goes into this broader pattern that we're seeing in terms of New Mexicans and then people in our surrounding states coming to New Mexico to recreate outside in record numbers. And while a lot of that is positive, it does come with challenges, one of which you just articulated. And I think, I'll give you an example. Up in Jemez, we are seeing lots and lots of outdoor recreationists, but in order to come to the forest and to some of those trailheads, it requires driving through highways and through pueblos or close to pueblos, close to Jemez Pueblo. And I think right now we all have to be really diligent in doing the research before we recreate to avoid such a thing. We have to avoid closed areas, obviously, and we also have to avoid areas that people want to keep more restricted because they are concerned about the spread of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And so I really think about it as a kind of a pre-recreation education plan, that it's on each of us as recreationists to make sure we're checking for closures, yes, but then also to be really aware of the trailhead that we're going to. It might be really crowded. We shouldn't go there then. We should have a backup option, and a backup option that does not impinge on any of the tribes, any of the pueblos in New Mexico. The health of fellow New Mexicans comes first and foremost, or should be first and foremost in our minds, and that research is a key part of us all doing our part and upholding responsibility for safe recreation right now.
Yeah, so those are the priorities right now. If you're trying to get outside, making sure you're doing it in a COVID-safe way. So if people are able to get outside, it's still not necessarily a COVID-free environment. So what do people need to keep in mind about reducing virus spread when they're on those hiking trails or when they do get to a campsite that they've researched and they know that it's not going to be super crowded, they didn't have to stop on their way, they get to the campsite? What are some ways to make sure that that's COVID safe?
Sure. Yeah, I think we are, as you've noted earlier in this show, finding a lot of solace in the outdoors right now. And I think that's really healthy. And I do think there is increasingly research that shows the risk of transmission is lower when you're outside, but it isn't negligible. And really the best thing that we can all do to slow the spread of this disease is to change our behaviors, whether we're inside or out. So when we're outside, those same social distancing best practices apply. Keep your distance from other people. Stay at least 6 feet apart. If you're in a crowded trailhead, wear your mask. So when you're passing close to someone, you're about to start on the trail, you have a mask on to protect both yourself and your fellow outdoor recreationists, and of course the land managers who are out there protecting these places. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's a key one. Remember to still keep your distance from other people, even if you're outside. Bring a mask, put the health of others at the very top of your priority list when it comes to researching places to recreate. Check for those closures so you're respecting what our land managers are looking at, and then avoiding those crowded places. And then, of course, too, protecting the resources. So making sure that you are aware when you go out that maybe some of the facilities that might used to have been open pre-COVID aren't going to be open anymore. That includes everything from trash cans to restrooms. So be prepared for that. Make sure to pack out your trash. It's going to require a little bit more self-sufficiency to protect both New Mexico's lands and waters and then our fellow recreationists.
That's super helpful. So do your research, be self-sufficient. So for our listeners, how are you making sure to be COVID safe when you and your family go outside? Are you more careful with your trash? Are you wearing masks? Are you social distancing? Are you making sure to avoid tribal land? Tweet us with hashtag #LetsTalkNM to tell us about what you and your family are doing this summer when you're getting outside to be safe and healthy. Axie Navas is the director of New Mexico Outdoor Recreation Division. Thank you so much, Axie, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Nash.
And I'll have you stay on the line in case some outdoors questions come up. We'll also post information about that outdoor equity fund that Axie mentioned, which closes August 1st on the webpage of this episode. You'll find it on our homepage at kunm.org. Our next guest is Katie Stone, a name that many of our listeners will be familiar with. Katie hosts and produces the Children's Hour radio show, which airs Saturday mornings here on KUNM and also on public radio stations across the country. Good morning to you, Katie.
Good morning, Nash. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. I'm glad to have you. So with summer school and other educational programs limited or even canceled this summer, does the Children's Hour as a radio show and a podcast serve listeners in a unique way right now?
You know, we have continued. We never missed a beat. In March, when the state shut down and we realized that we had to cancel our live shows, many KUNM listeners are familiar we were doing a half of our shows live from public venues, and clearly that had to end.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that happened, we transitioned and pivoted to an all-online Children's Hour production. It means we can't do live shows on Saturday mornings as we were doing before, but I continued to engage my crew, which is fairly sizable. There's over 30 kids on the crew.
Oh, wow.
And every week we have anywhere between 10 and 15 kids participating. And we are still meeting once a week. And we have decided to really tackle some of the educational gaps that we saw. So you can hear that in our programming. But part of that work is the kids themselves are doing research before we come together to record. So, yeah, we continued nonstop. No one got a spring break. No one got a summer break.
Well, good for you. We have a call from Janice in Albuquerque. Janice, good morning. What would you like to contribute to the conversation?
Good morning, and I'm so thrilled to be talking to Katie Stone. I love, love, love your program. I'm a great-great-grandma, and I think your program is wonderful. My comment is this. My son belongs to a horseback group that goes out into the wilderness and cleans up and maintains trails and does a lot of good work there.
Mm-hmm.
They are very much upset by the amount of trash of all kinds that's left there for them to clean up.
Mm.
And I was thinking, as I was allowed to speak to Katie, this is a perfect opportunity to educate and attach to any outdoor program what is necessary to take with you in order to be able to clean up after yourself. I know you don't shy away from things, but even bodily products in the forests, a great quantity might be very destructive. So if you could think through the kind of bags and other equipment that would be necessary to take with you in order to leave things as beautiful as you found them, that would be wonderful.
Thank you so much, Janice, for that tip and for sharing the experience of your son is trying to clean things up and keep New Mexico looking beautiful out there. And, you know, I think that echoes what Axie was sharing about making sure that you're packing out your trash and being aware that some of the bathroom facilities may be closed and being responsible with how you're accessing those outdoor spaces. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Janice. Katie, on the Children's Hour right now, are you all talking about coronavirus on the show? What sort of questions have your kids' crew come up with about the pandemic?
We did a show on coronavirus at the end of March. We had a ton of questions about it, obviously, in March, just like everyone did, since no one really understood the virus. And we plan to revisit coronavirus in a couple of weeks. We have an interview scheduled with Secretary Kunkel from the New Mexico Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
And we really wanted to talk to her and get her on the air before school starts to spread the message to kids about what is the safest way to be in person with other people. I'm not sure that really very young children are capable of, we know they're not capable of social distancing, until mm-hmm. a certain age when they can actually comprehend keeping a distance. And so, yeah, we will continue to cover coronavirus because kids continue to have a lot of questions.
Sure, of course.
I was just asking the crew, we record on Wednesdays, and I was just asking the crew yesterday how everyone's summer is going and what they're doing and if folks are doing things in person or online. And it was interesting.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to listeners to hear it, but there's a lot going on online in all kinds of capacities for kids. And, you know, I know in-person is always best, psychologically and emotionally and to give each other hugs. But there's also something to being very consistent in what we're doing in terms of online. Even though we're online, I'm seeing the kids. We use video when we do these recording mm-hmm. sessions. And that consistency every single week, I recognized in March, was going to be necessary for these kids to feel like they're still connected and they're making a huge impact.
and that we are one team, and we're all working together. And we also wanted to model that that's possible.
Right.
And our crew has actually grown since the coronavirus started, which blew my mind. But we actually have new kids on our crew since the virus started. And I'm quite pleased with how the crew is developing and learning and researching. They really are amazing kids, and they're doing such a great job.
Well, that's fantastic.
And we offer this. You can be a part of the kids crew. There's no fees or anything to be in the kids crew. It's a matter of being committed and showing up and doing your part.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you've still been able to get young people involved, and that maybe even being online is creating some accessibility for folks who couldn't get involved before. That's wonderful. And I imagine that they are having questions about coronavirus. This summer, kids and teens are also likely seeing the Black Lives Matter movement and protests about systemic racism and police brutality. How has the Children's Hour taken on these topics in an accessible way for your young audience? And what are some of the questions that your youth have had?
We did a show a couple of weeks ago on being anti-racist, and we had a couple of a couple of child psychologists on the air with us who were able to share perspectives of being African-American and also working with their clients. And the kids had a ton of questions. They had questions about what's really happening. The younger kids on our crew were confused about what they were hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And what really I took home from that show, and I hope everyone else did too, is that we as parents have a tremendous responsibility to continue these conversations ongoing at our kitchen tables, in our homes, no matter your race, no matter where you're coming from, to continue to talk about the justice problems in the United States, our racial inequities, racism, white supremacy. And, you know, the psychologists were agreed with this. There's really no age too young to start talking about race and to start talking about equity and justice with kids. And so we have covered that, and we will continue to be covering different aspects. I mean, it's coming up in, right now we're in the middle of a series on the Bill of Rights, and this is coming up over and over again in this series as we go through each amendment with the kids. So there's just no one is too young to really start exploring injustice and how we can raise a generation that is not going to continue the horrific racism of generations past.
And what is your goal in holding these conversations in terms of what you hope your listeners, but not only the listeners, but you mentioned that you hope parents are continuing these conversations, that it's never too early. But what is your goal as a radio program and as a podcast that you hope your listeners, parents and kids alike, take away when they're done listening to the show?
I hope everyone learns something on every single program, and no matter what your age is, finding the kid inside yourself. And I also hope we continue to spark conversations for families and friends amongst each other. And the other thing is we offer 1 hour of programming that engages and captivates kids. And we are happy to be a curricular supplement for families who are staying at home and respecting social distancing.
Awesome.
And who might need that hour. And so we want to just offer that. We never, you know, our podcasts are available and at any time
and
on demand.
Katie, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm sorry, we're out of time for this morning, but I want to thank you so much for coming on to talk with us this morning. And know for our listeners that the Children's Hour is linked to our webpage online. You can find it there. That's all the time we have. Thanks to everyone who called in and to each of our guests. We can keep the conversation going on Twitter with hashtag Let's Talk NM. We're also on Facebook at KUNM Radio. If you miss part of the show, you can stream it online or subscribe to the podcast. Thank you, as always, to our hardworking team. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. The live tweeting was done by Taylor Velasquez. Marisa DeMarco produced today's show. And Hannah Colton is our executive producer. I'm Nash Jones. This has been Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM, streaming live on KUNM.org.